From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Jack Barsky led a double life in the U.S. for 10 years. Now the former KGB spy lives quietly with his family in Covington, Georgia. On Monday, we're going to meet him and get his take on the upcoming summit between President Vladimir Putin and Trump. Is there an interesting Georgian that you would like to meet on the radio? Leave us your interview suggestions. You can leave a voicemail at 404-500-9457, or you can find us on Twitter or on Facebook. And then be sure to join us on Monday at 9 a.m. for some spycraft and more. Well, it may not feel like Friday on this broken up week, but it is, and this is the day for On Second Thought's weekly roundtable. Today, we've gathered three people who work with technology from different generations to talk about their own internet habits and how they have or have not changed their behavior. Gautam Beliappa is Vice President of Cognitive Artificial Intelligence and Big Data Practice for North America at Capgemini, and he's on the phone with us. Hello, Gautam.
Hello and good morning.
Good morning to you. And in the studio with me, Jamie Gottlieb. She's a content manager for an Atlanta startup. It's called Rhodey. Hello, Jamie.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Heather Wynn is here. She's a UGA computer science grad, former intern at Google, currently getting her master's degree at the University of Illinois. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so we just heard a lot about how deeply technology influences and plays with our sort of emotions and ideology and the way that we seek and consume information. Love to get a little bit on your own habits for where you get your news. Gautam, let's start with you.
Sure. I subscribe to the print. Yes, paper edition of the Wall Street Journal.
No. Are you the only person that you know that gets newsprint on your fingers?
No, I get you know, most of the people who work for me to subscribe to, you know, the paper edition of something. The tactile feeling during breakfast, I think, you know, helps with retention. It's just part of my morning routine that I've never gotten rid of. I, you know, also listen to a lot of NPR podcasts. I'm on the road quite a bit. My favorites are The Hidden Brain, Planet Money, and The Indicator.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I also read, you know, one or two business papers a week from our competitors and the top business schools. And I read for about 30 minutes before I go to bed. At night, mostly fiction, space and engineering related fiction.
All right. How about you, Jamie?
I'm a little bit different. I get most of my news from newsletters, actually. It's a really great way to have in your email digestible, quick content that gives you both a high level and a slightly deep dive into the topics of the day. If I want to learn more about a certain topic, I'll go to kind of my staples, either the New York Times or Recode for technology and business news. And, you know, on top of that, of course, you know, I, you know, like to get some, you know, fun lifestyle news. Like, it's not unusual for me to go to Refinery29 to get some horoscope or fashion lifestyle, things like that. But really, in terms of like deep diving into stories and getting information, it is more the traditional news media and outlets.
How about you, Heather?
So I do use Facebook. So a lot of my friends like to post news, and a lot of them are people who keep up with news. I also do use email a lot of times. So I'll get email alerts from Twitter, or I'll get email alerts from Medium.com and things like that on popular posts. That's usually a lot of big news. And then sometimes I'll use Reddit. So a lot of times when I'm looking for something in particular, for a particular topic, sometimes Reddit is usually the best place for me to go.
Now, you're a former intern at Google, correct?
Yes.
So how reliant on you are you on Google for actually finding out, you know, say you see something on Twitter, will you go to Google and look for more on this news story?
So a lot of times I will go to Google to look up stuff on a news story, mostly because I tend to see stuff and then I want to like see other sources and see what are other people saying before I can make a decision on whether I trust that particular information or not.
So do you use that autocomplete function? Like say you're looking at, you know, we heard the example, NFL ratings up or down.
So sometimes I won't really use the autocomplete. I'll just kind of type in the topic and see kind of what's out there. But definitely, you know, if I saw something that's like, you know, NFL ratings are down, then I might end up searching NFL ratings are down since that's what the prompt words were.
So this is machine learning, that this is an algorithm that takes into account how you look at things and how you view the world and gives you results based on that. People are pretty anxious about big picture AI. You know, artificial intelligence is going to take over the world or take our jobs or eliminate my job or whatever, or surpass human intelligence. But so many of us actually use things like Alexa. They use Google. We use all sorts of different forms of ways of predicting our behavior in our regular life. It sounds like it's a brave new world, but Gautam, you're in the business, so to speak. What do you think? Is it really a brave new world, or has AI quietly been in our lives for a long time?
I think AI, you know, is more pervasive than most people realize. It's commonplace, from simple applications like Amazon suggesting what you should purchase to ads on Google and YouTube customized for you, the movie recommender on Netflix, you know, the routing algorithms on Waze, the image recognition features on Facebook and Google. Like it or not, AI is a big part of our lives and it's growing, right? We have a saying at Capgemini, we say the fourth industrial revolution is one driven by data and AI. Mm. Its societal impact is becoming so pervasive that even their makers are getting concerned about, you know, its unfettered organic growth.
Right. Well, so you are capturing it. You are using it to your advantage. Heather, you taught at a camp on AI for young students. What did they think about this? Is this totally normal to them, or does it seem like a threat?
So I know a lot of them come in being very scared about AI. So a lot of them they'll tell me, oh, well, you know, I'm really nervous about AI. I'm not sure, like, if I really want this in my life and things like that. But as they start to program, they'll learn that the AI is only as smart as you, the programmer, can make it. And so for them, they kind of get this perspective that the AI is kind of based off of what we know. And then they can kind of use that to their advantage.
And Jamie, this is something that you're doing at Rhodey. You manage digital marketing for Rhodey. This is a startup here in Atlanta. Quickly, how does the Rhodey model work?
Yeah, so Rhodey is an on-the-way delivery service. We connect people and businesses that have items to send with drivers already heading in the right direction.
So if I need something brought from Georgia to California, you find somebody who's driving?
Yeah, it could be Georgia to California if you need to send a couch you bought off Craigslist. But also locally, we actually work with a lot of retailers, home improvement stores, printers, things like that. We recently announced a partnership with Delta where we're delivering delayed baggage for them, reuniting bags with customers.
So you're connecting people to goods. So how much info does Rhodey ask for people to share when signing up for this app?
Standard sharing economy protocols and applications for our drivers. Of course, we background check our drivers, ask for a valid insurance and, ID as well, and to pay them, via direct deposit, their bank account information. Senders, when they post items, we ask them to post photos. We allow for real-time tracking as well, so you can see where your items are at every point in the process. And we actually partner with UPS Capital to offer insurance. So there are a lot of different ways that we're able to understand our users' preferences and what they like and how they like to interact with the app.
So understand users' preferences. Heather, you're a programmer. What do you think of when you hear that?
Usually
this
that
is all
means,
algorithms, right?
Yeah, usually that means you have a lot of data and you kind of use that to, like, in Google where you do predictive text.
So you're a person who works in technology. How much information are you willing to give to the websites and apps that you use?
So I tend to try to not give a lot of information. For example, I turn off my location for a lot of things. For example, on Google Maps, I don't actually have the Google Maps app. I use my native, like, Apple apps, maps, because I didn't want to give Google, like, my location information and have them, like, know where I was.
What's the fear there? Why would you not want them to know that?
It's mostly just kind of the idea of, like, I want to keep hold of my own privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, for example, I know some people, one of the big things we learned when we were at Google was that they like to, like, be able to keep hold of the information. And sometimes people who, you know, are unsavory might want to get a hold of that information.
Right.
And sometimes they have to, like, try to keep those people away. But, you know, now you're trusting them to keep hold of all of that. And sometimes I just want to be able to search something and not have it follow me around. So sometimes I'll, like, Google stuff and then see it as an ad. So sometimes I'll disable scripts on websites so I don't have to have those cookies and things like that following me around.
So you know that to be true. You know how they use this information. But I think most people, you know, they use Facebook, they use Google Maps, and they think, okay, well, maybe they've got some of my information, but it's worth the convenience. Gautam, what do you think? How often do you make that kind of bargain in your head?
I make the bargain in my head in two ways. One is, you know, I give information when I need something back. It's a sharing economy. So, you know, when we have apps for free, you need to give something in return. I also, you know, you don't always need to give accurate information. You don't need to put in your right age on Facebook. My wife doesn't have a real name or a real address or any kind of real information. You know, in my mind, the sharing economy has been, you know, been active for a long time. You take the credit reporting agencies, for instance, right? They control, you know, key data about us without our consent. Their fundamental business model is to treat us like products. The tech applications are the next generation of it. You know, the better, kinder versions of it. And, you know, so I share as much as I need. And like, you know, the other person said, I turn off location information. I delete, you know, apps when I don't use them. And then I re-engage them when I need them.
Hmm. Any of you are always online, or do you ever try to detox, Jamie?
Well, I like to think that I like to detox, but practically my generation came out of the womb with a laptop in their hands. So when I'm home, I definitely create boundaries between you know work and regular life balance. Try and shut off my email, but I am very susceptible to, you know, browsing an Instagram feed and going on Netflix. I even have an Alexa as well, where I listen to music. So technology is really integrated into my day-to-day for that convenience that you mentioned, but also access to information and, you know, really exciting topics, things like that.
Heather, quickly, how about you? Do you ever detox from your media?
Lately, I've definitely been detoxing, especially since I went abroad recently. And during that time, I was able to be on airplane mode and not have constant messages, constant following. And that kind of helped prepare me to do that.
That was Heather Woon. She joins me, also Gutam Beliappa and also Jamie Gottlieb, telling us a little bit about how they use your media. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.